Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. Looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how are you doing this week?
Doing pretty good. You know, these Saturday mornings are pretty, it's pretty nice. I can have my coffee without staying up all night, just relax and chat video games.
I know, I'm pretty excited. It was Pancakes Day today, as it is every Saturday morning. And they were actually apple cinnamon pancakes, so it was like apple pie right in my mouth. It was fantastic. Mm. I guess where else would you normally put apple pie? But anyways, it was really good.
Wow, way to dodge that bullet.
Why, thank you. I thought it was quite masterful myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Pancakes Day, and then now podcast recording, and it's a good day, Ryan. It's a good day, except that I'm still sick, so that's blech. But getting over it, which is fun.
No better way to get over a sickness than using your sickness for good. Like, say, I'm sick, so I'm going to play video games all weekend.
Which is pretty much my plan.
Ah, so
that's
jealous.
A lie. We have Christmas next weekend because Joel's family goes down to Florida every year, so they're not around for actual Christmas. So Thanksgiving becomes Christmas. It's Chris-moctober.
Interesting. Now, yes. Do you get gifts and stuff?
That's what we're doing today is we are Christmas shopping. And then tomorrow we have a wedding. So, and then next week I work four days in a row, which will be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Fun times. Well, you know, let's talk about some fun times. I mean, since last time we recorded, I just wanted to mention that I guested on a couple podcasts, actually. I've just been whoring it out like no other.
See, we all knew you were a video games whore, but Ryan, I expected more from you.
I'm a podcaster.
I thought I was your podcasting partner, and here you are whoring yourself across the interwebs, and I'm just like, dude, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole now. I might have to find a new co-host, because you've been everywhere, touching everything.
Well, luckily, sexually transmitted diseases don't go across the internet.
That we know of.
That we know of. But podcast transmitted diseases, well. No, like, we shouldn't say that. We're all clean. I double-checked. Fanboys XL, a fun podcast. Rick was at a tattoo convention, so I drew all over my arms and got to guest on Fanboys XL with Bobbert, and that was a lot of fun. And then I believe on our normal recording time, Wednesday, I was sitting there playing Mists and got a tweet from Joel, and I guess they were short a person, and they knew that TGI was moved to Saturday. So I guested on the Citadel Cafe with Joel and Peyton, and that was a lot of fun, too. It's always interesting injecting video games into their podcast, and not you don't have a video game discussion. Like, I mentioned talking about the Kirby history book, and just more focusing on the fact that the contents of the book, like the Japanese production notes and stuff, and they latched onto that in the sense that they could, you know, wrap their minds around how cool it is to see, you know, building blocks of things that you don't get to see how things are made very much. So
right. That
was a lot of fun. And now I'm here.
Well, that's good. That's actually awesome. I haven't listened to the Citadel Cafe yet. I was asleep when you were recording that. But do you want to just, before we move on, give us a quick rundown of what Fanboys XL actually is? Like, what do they talk about? Who's normally on it?
Oh, okay, yeah. So Fanboys XL, they are a friend of the show. Bob and Rick do a weekly podcast, usually recording on a Saturday, and they talk about lots of different geeky stuff. They talk about weird news. Man, just disgusting stuff in that. They talk about movie stuff, entertainment. Like, we talked about the new Hobbit trailer.
You know? Oh, man, that gave me goosebumps. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we were pretty excited to talk about that. You know, movie news and, there's other stuff. Oh, top five. We did a top five gadgets.
Cool.
Which was kind of fun. Was fun. Sorry, Bob. And, it's a really fun podcast, more focusing on the tech, entertainment, geeky stuff. And you can find out more at fxlnetwork.com or subscribe in iTunes and Citadel Cafe, thecitadelcafe.com or, well, the same in iTunes. And, you know, subscribe, listen, and their shows are really awesome.
Well, other than podcasting, because I'm doing a lot of that, this is my first podcast in like a week and a half. We've been playing some video games. So actually, you have a bit of a fiasco that no one should be surprised that Ryan had trouble getting his hands on a collector's edition. But why don't you share with all the fans what happened to you trying to get Miss?
Okay, so I did pre-order the collector's edition for Mists of Pandaria. So I had it in my hands when I got home from work on Tuesday. I rip it open. I didn't rip it open. I opened it up, and you'll understand why I clarified there in a second. I get it all out of the box, like looking at the soundtrack, the DVDs, the game disc, obviously. And then I open the art book, and it's a hardcover 200-page art book. And, you know, totally worth the, I guess it was $80 plus tax. Mm-hmm. And the front cover is ripped along the inside.
And really?
Yeah. And I'm just like, that doesn't really ruin the book, but it totally ruins the experience of having this collector's item, you know?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, the fact that you even took it out of the box, I'm like, dude.
Yeah, no. I opened everything before I decided what I was going to do next. I opened the game. I opened the DVD. Everything. Everything that was shrink-wrapped got opened. And then I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, not only did I open a video game, but I opened a PC game. So you can imagine my panicky, what do? I was looking at the Blizzard customer support, and they got a few tweets from people who are, you know, missing codes or whatever. And they were saying, you know, we can't do anything about it. You need to go to your store and exchange it there. And I'm like, well, luckily I ordered it on Future Shop Online, which is for you Americans, it's I believe it's a Canadian electronics store. They don't have it outside Canada, do they?
No, but they and Best Buy are owned by the same company, so it's the equivalent of Best Buy.
Okay,
we have Best Buy up here too, but Future Shop and Best Buy are the same here, and all they have in the States is Best Buy.
Okay, well, there you go, Best Buy. And so I call up Future Shop, the local Future Shop, and I'm like, listen, I got a Mists of Pandaria collector's edition, and the art book is torn. The first woman I talked to was like, what's an art book? I'm going to transfer you to the entertainment section.
God.
And I'm like, oh, great. This is going well. So I talked to the entertainment guy. He talks to his manager. He knows what I'm talking about. And he says, okay, I have one left. It's in my hands. I'm putting it at the customer desk. And you can come and exchange it. So I drive over there. And I was heading out anyways. I was going some party or something. But so I pick up. I exchange it. They didn't even open the box to make sure what was in there. Like when I returned it, they gave me the new one, and I walked out, and everything's fine. But I was so surprised. Like, if I was a bad person, like, I could have, like, taken the codes off and activated them. But I'm like, nope, I didn't activate them. I just opened everything.
But you're such a Canadian.
I know. But, you know, we all know those people who totally would have taken advantage of that situation.
I wouldn't have, just for fear of, like, oh, my God, they're going to know I did it, and then I'm not going to have any wow.
Well, I wouldn't have... I wouldn't have done it for many reasons. I mean, just my conscience would eat me alive, but also the fact that, you know, they have my phone number when I go to do it. So if they had any issues, they could just say, well,
they
don't
know where I live.
Yeah. And I mean, most people who would do it without questioning anything would say, you know, they're not going to do anything. They ship it back to the manufacturer and they, you know, do whatever. But anyways, solved. Art book's fine. Like every other collector's edition I buy, it is sitting beside my computer here waiting to be consumed. Literally all I've done is installed the game. So, but yeah, fiasco. And I can't win.
Well, I actually have an absolutely awesome How I Got Mists of Pandaria story. Joel and I had, people were asking us if we were going to be playing Mists when it launched. And, you know, we were just kind of saying, oh, we'd love to, you know, we're really into WoW, but our characters aren't high enough yet to unlock the content. And it's just not really in our budget for right now. So, you know, we're probably going to look at getting it in a few weeks from now, maybe, or, you know, like basically push it until our characters are 85 anyway. And then, so one of our fans read our tweets, War Crusher, on Earthen Ring, and he is also Bootify on Twitter, and he actually gifted both Joel and I a copy of Mists of Pandaria. So we were actually able to get in and roll pandas and do the monk stuff because of the generosity of one of our fans. So I just wanted to thank him on the show because we were blown away. We were just so happy and unexpected and awesome. And thank you so much, War Crusher, Todd, Budify, all of your names everywhere.
That's awesome. And I mean, do the monk stuff is one of the biggest dance hits, like hitting the clubs these days. So that's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not that other one from South Korea?
No. That's old news. Where have you been? It's do the monk stuff now. You know, do the monk stuff. That.
Oh, God.
Someone needs to make a parody video now. I've totally released that to the internet, so I'm surprised it doesn't exist.
Get on that internet right now. So we've both been playing a lot of WoW. We're actually not going to talk about Mists of Pandaria this week. Or next week, because we have Mark the Terpster Turpin coming on October 13th, which is 2 weeks from today, when we will be talking all things Halo and all things Myst. So we're going to save it. But Ryan, you were playing WoW outside of the actual Myst content, so you may have done something that many people say never to do.
Well, yeah, I finally got back into WoW. I did resub. Did you get your mount?
No! I think you took too long.
Really? Because I thought I was going to lose out on the rewards, and I still have my boost to 80 and server transfer waiting for me.
I'm going to be so pissed if you get the rewards and I don't get the rewards.
That'd be pretty stupid, but you should go into your battle. I think you have to log into your battle.net account and go to services, and then like there's like a history, and it's funny.
I'll be right back.
Well, wait till after the show. I actually did go to that service records. I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but I actually got hacked in WoW before.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was when I wasn't playing, and I had a character all decked out with purples and stuff. It was around the Cataclysm.
What does that mean? You were wearing purple?
Well, I mean, they're purple gear. Purple gear is like legendary gear, which is like top-notch stuff.
Oh, I see. So well, is that higher than blue, or is that... Because Joel and I fight all the time over what is purple and what is blue, so...
Yeah. It goes green, which is, I don't know, good, I guess. Blue, which is epic. And then purple, which is legendary. And then orange, I guess, which is... Maybe orange is legendary and purple is epic. It's been so long.
Right.
But that's the purple is
okay.
Like...
Yeah. So there are two different things. There's blue stuff and there's purple stuff. So I've never seen anything purple or orange. All I've ever seen is blue or green. So
yeah.
Usually when I find a blue thing, I'm like, oh my God, it's blue.
You won't see purple until you like hit high level crafting or some raids, you know. Okay. So not for a while.
Underscore Funk, we are reading the chat room. You can stop facepalming. That's where we got, okay, purple is epic, orange is legendary, blue is rare, and then green is uncommon. So now we seem to have satisfied the chat room.
Man, for someone who hasn't played WoW a lot, WoW lately, he sure knows a lot about it.
We should probably say, as always, we have a live chat room. We're recording on a different day today, but normally, Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, we have a live chat room when we do our show. Continue.
Yeah, and I was going to say about the chat room, for once, we're actually keeping Lemel up rather than the other way around. Because
mm-hmm.
1 a.m. where he is. Take that. No, please don't take that. So anyways, if you go to your services and history, I was actually looking at it, and I can see where the hacker like did a refer or a scroll of re- – no, not a scroll of resurrection. A refer a friend. So the guy hacked into my account, referred a friend. So this way he was able to get 30 free days on my account so he wouldn't have to, like, pay.
Oh.
So he paid once with a new account, I guess with a farmer account, and then using that free time, he gutted my guy and totally stole all my shit. But long story short, you should be able to go into your history there and see where you sent me the Scroll of Resurrection and then claim your rewards. I think that's how you have to do it.
Okay, well then I'll have to go in and do that before I play again. But yes. The one thing I tried to do that you've done that I was alluding to earlier is the whole slash played thing. Wouldn't work for me. Maybe I haven't played enough for it to be, you know, totally debilitating. So,
See,
they don't want to tell me. Like, no, you haven't qualified yet.
Weird. That doesn't make much sense. It must be something Maybe it's the way your chat room is set up. Have you played around with your chat settings?
Yeah, I totally messed with them.
Oh, okay, so maybe it's just ignoring system text or something.
Probably.
Yeah, so Slash played. Having been back into WoW, I thought it would be interesting to kind of give a quick recap of my history with the game. And the best way to do that is to explain how long I've actually been playing. So I've been playing since high school. So maybe 5-6 years. Oh, shit, I just made a lot of people feel old. I'm sorry. anyways, in high school, I rolled an undead warrior, my first World of Warcraft character who is on Earthen Ring. And I put 17.5 days into him, and he's 60...
Days?
Days.
I see.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, like, hours. Like,
no.
Oh, yeah. No, I got him to, like, level 20, you know, 17.5 hours, you know, that kind of thing.
He but is, days. Yeah, so days.
That's not, like, you played him on 17 and a half days. That's, like... If you take 17.5 times 24, that's how many hours that you've played.
Yes. And that character, I only got to level 62. I basically played him through Vanilla WoW and then dropped him when Burning Crusade came out, which brings us to college when I upgraded to a Night Elf rogue. You know, one of those weird phases where you start wanting to be a Night Elf in college? Yeah, I did that. So we friends of mine in college, we rolled some alliance characters, and that guy, get ready for it, has docked 25 days.
Wow.
Yeah, so he is currently sitting at 66 and went through a bit of Burning Crusade again, college experimental, and then finally in university, once I believe whatever the Blood Elves are, wherever they came out, I think they were... No, that was Burning Crusade.
That was
anyways,
Burning Crusade.
Yeah, so I converted to the Horde with the Blood Elf Warlock, who I'm still playing to this day, and he's got 38 days on him.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that, I don't even want to total those together, but that Warlock, Crassus, he is currently 82, and he went through some raiding in Wrath of the Lich King. Actually, that's how he got all the legendaries. And so before Mist hit, I wanted to get back into playing Crassus and got him actually to 82. And this is the first I've actually played of the new 80 Cataclysm content, which is all underwater, which is quite interesting. It's kind of like you're always flying. And, you know, they give you buffs to make you swim faster, and they give you a new water mount. You get to ride a freaking seahorse, man.
That's actually pretty cool.
It is. And... the questing content's really cool, and I think...
Although it doesn't really seem to match with, like... I mean, obviously, I haven't made it to Cataclysm content yet. What with, excuse me, only being level 43. But Cataclysm seems all, like, burny and dragons and grr, arg, like, angry.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, you get to play underwater and ride a seahorse!
Well, the funny thing is about Cataclysm is, you're right, outside the... Well, where the whole fire thing comes in and destruction is the entire world. I mean, you never played before a Cataclysm, so a lot changed when Cataclysm hit. Like, a lot of places got, you know, death-winged pretty hard. and the Cataclysm 80-plus content, so far it starts out in a little, like, watery place just off the shores of Eastern Kingdoms, and then... 83 plus takes place in the Maelstrom, which is that giant...
vortexy thingy in the middle?
Yeah, exactly. I haven't hit that yet, and I don't actually think I'm going to keep playing my Crassus until kind of Mist dies down, and I'm not really sure where I'm going to focus my time. Right now it's been my new panda, but who is on Earthen Ring, and I have that transfer, so I'm not really sure where I'm going to transfer. I'm thinking I might transfer him over to Bob and Rick to raid with them and just keep... I'll keep up with you guys. Like, you're currently what? Your mains are 40? 43. So I think once you guys get to... so I guess either my panda will catch up to your mains, or... which probably won't happen. Or I'll roll with Deadrock, my undead warrior, and we can do some Burning Crusade content.
Oh, cool.
So...
Yeah, like, I mean, Joel and I, we had a blast last weekend because we have just discovered, you know, like, we're got our mains accepted into AIE. So now we have that whole vent experience. So we ran a dungeon with AIE people. And I mean, both Joel and I were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is insane. But like, I mean, just they were so good. We ran it with Copperdome on Twitter and his wife and Budify, who was the one who gifted us the expansions. Mm-hmm. So it was the five of us that went and did a dungeon. And I can't for the life of me remember which one it was. But it was a Vanilla WoW one. And it was just, they were so good with us because, I mean, they all have, like, not hundreds of characters at 85, but most of their characters are level 85s. You know, they have, you know, their level 40 characters are the ones that they just play around with and don't really care about. And Joel and I are like, no, our 43s are our life. So, but they were just like, oh, yeah, okay, well, if you want to learn how to trap, then, you know, put this here and try this and do this. And, you know, it was really funny because, like, we were level 42 when we started the dungeon. Mm-hmm. And Joel was tanking. And a lot of the bad guys in the dungeon, because we had a level 52 healer with us. So a lot of the bad guys in the dungeon that we had to pick were like level 47, level 48. So Joel is trying to tank and he just kept dying.
Oh.
But it was like a lot of fun because then the healer was just like pounding Joel with healing spells while the rest of us were going. And Joel was just like, oh my God, I'm dying. This is insane. Because, like, our experience with WoW so far has been very grindy. Because mm-hmm. we hadn't been, like I mentioned, I think last week, we didn't know about the, like, changing the filter to see all the dungeons. So everything we were seeing for dungeons was level 85 Cataclysm stuff. And we were like, well, we can't play those. So we just had been grinding, like, go kill 10 of these and go kill 5 of those and, you know, run to this dude and talk to him and then come back to me sort of quests. And we were like, oh my God, first of all, this is stupid easy because there's two of us. So even though we're in zones that are for our level,
right,
we were, you know, like killing stuff with two of us on one monster. So it was just like, this is really easy. Like, one or two shots from me and a swing of the sword from him and the dude's dead. And we're just like, well, this doesn't even take any strategy. If we pull 6 of these things, we might be in trouble, but they're not that close together. So we were kind of falling out of love with WoW, I guess, until we did this whole dungeon and vent chat. And like, I added a whole bunch of add-ons. So I have a new inventory thing and oh, nice. I have my focus bar for my hunter underneath her so I can always see without having to look up into the top corner how much energy stuff I have. And like, oh my God, it's so much fun. So
yeah, and that's what I said when you started playing is that the dungeons, the group stuff, that's always been my favorite part about WoW. And when it comes to WoW, actually, I probably won't play with other people until a dungeon comes up. I've always been a solo WoW player. Minus, like, I like chatting. So when I'm playing WoW, I would rather just be talking to people than actually grouping with them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
They've kind of changed it, Joel and I noticed, when we were going around with the looting. Mm-hmm. Because it used to be that, like, we would have to kill, like, 50 things to each get the 10 like claws that we needed or whatever.
Right.
But now it's like if one of us kills something that drops the thing that we're trying to collect, we can both loot that one corpse. So it was going a lot quicker.
Right.
So that was a big change. And so that helped. But still, like, we were just kind of like, we tried to go into an area when we were level 42 that was, I think, 45 to 50. And all the quests were grayed out. And we were just like, come on, seriously? Like, we can take on these monsters. We can do these quests. We're not going to die. But it's just like, our levels weren't high enough, so we couldn't unlock them. And I was just like, oh, this is broken. Like, if I want to go do a level 45 quest as a level 43 Blood Elf, I should be able to. But
weird.
So anyways, we ended up doing the dungeon. It was so much fun. It was a great time.
Hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to grouping, and I was actually talking to Joel about, you know, grouping and whatnot. So we should try to see. The problem with me is my game time is so all over the place. So the next time we pop on and we're actually on at the same time, we should try to hook, you know, do some questing stuff.
We should.
I almost said hook up, and that, you know, you know what I'm talking about, but
Oregon, please, Ryan, just dial it down for an hour. Do you think you can do that? Just keep your whoring to yourself.
There must be some sort of thing in this coffee that I'm drinking. I knew I should have got coffee at Tim Hortons.
So, what else have you been playing this week? Let's move off the WoW talk before we just turn into mini instance.
Yeah, you're making me want to play WoW right now. I've actually been playing Borderlands 2. We briefly talked about it last week, and I said I'd talk about it more this week, but to be honest, I haven't really been playing it a lot, which, come on, that's not really a surprise when it comes to Ryan. I'll buy a game, play it for a week, and stop playing.
Where are you playing Borderlands 2 on PC or PS3 or Xbox?
I'm playing on PC currently. It's really well done on the PC. Lots of little tweaking abilities. It runs great on tons of systems from what I've heard. And I'm playing with... The reason I picked it up on PC is three of my friends are actually playing on PC. And this is what happens when I play multiplayer games with other people in terms of leveling. I was playing hardcore with them, and then I stop playing, or I get a really busy week, and then I come back the weekend later, and they're 10 levels ahead of me. So they're already ahead of me, so now it's either... And the thing is, like, co-op is really easy in this game. You can jump in and out of games, but the problem is, which I experienced and I was really not happy about, is that I jumped into their game, and they were saying, oh, we're doing some quests, and they were only a couple levels ahead of me, but they were a couple story quests ahead of me. So I thought, if I joined their game, it would just kind of copy my character in, and I could, and when I go back to my own game, I'd be able to continue where I left off.
Right.
Not the case. I jump into their game, two story quests ahead, and I miss a chunk of content. I can't go back and play that content. I'm locked out of it.
Really?
Yeah, because my character has progressed. So in that game, you
okay,
could...
Okay, so were you, like, when you say you missed two story quests, mm-hmm. say your character was level 15,
right.
and they were at level 20, and two story quests ahead, then does your character jump to level 20, or you're still level 15, but you just missed those questing opportunities and that XP gathering opportunity?
Yes, you, that's a very loaded question.
Sorry.
I'm just trying to think, because... I haven't really explored all the systems of the game, and Lemel in the chat room is actually saying that you are able to go back. And to be honest, I actually haven't loaded up my own game yet, but basically what I experienced was when I jumped into his game, and there might be like level requirements. I was only like you said, five levels below. So in my eyes, what I saw is when I jumped into their game, it just skipped me all the way forward to that quest. It didn't skip me to level 20. I still stayed at 15. But from what...
So you were basically like, when you jumped ahead, you were then playing with them and you weren't as strong and you weren't as advanced and you didn't have as many weapons because you were only 15 to their 20, right?
Yeah. So I was getting pretty epic loot.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Is you would earn XP, I guess, a lot faster because when you actually, if you were able to complete things, you would get more XP for higher quests and mm-hmm. better loot, I guess. But still, that seems like I would be pretty pissed off if I was like a level 20 and I was playing with two of my level 20 friends and then like a level 5 jumped in and was like, oh, I'm totally just going to quest with you and steal all your weapons and get a ton of XP and level really fast. I'd be like... Well, that's kind of piggybacky. I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, but Lemel is saying when I jump back into my own game, it should say, hey, in another game, you're two quests ahead. Do you want to skip to it? And I'll, like he said, just say no and you'll be fine. So I'll try that before the next show and I'll let you know how it works out. But I'm currently playing the Siren, which is the magic chick, as I said last week. And her phase locking ability allows you to single out a character and pretty much lock them down in the air. Like it lifts the character into the air and puts a big circle around it, and things, you know, depending on your skills, it'll do different effects to it. Like mine currently does like fire damage, I think.
Okay.
And you can actually
fire
use it on...
Fire damage is always the best.
Exactly. Fire. And it makes them scream all nice and funny-like. Basically, you can actually do it to bosses. So it's really helpful when you're in a boss fight and the boss is like running around and killing everybody. You just say no, phase lock, and then he goes up in the air and everyone just shoots him, and it kind of makes it a little easier. But it is so much fun. And I know you said you're having some issues getting into Borderlands and even mm-hmm. thinking about the possibility of playing Borderlands 2. And I don't blame you, because it is one of those weird grindy games where if you don't like the combat or you're not getting into the... If you can't latch on to something in that game, you probably just don't want to even touch it, because...
It's always story for me.
Yeah, you're not going to find it.
That's why I'm hesitant to actually... Like, dungeons are one thing, but to group with people in something like WoW where, like... I know in the new expansion there's voiceover, but there hasn't been before. So you have to sit and read all the quests. And I read very quickly, but Joel doesn't. So even just the two of us, I always have to wait for him to finish reading the quest, because we're both so story-driven that we don't just want to say, yeah, okay, kill five of those, accept, go. Mm-hmm. You know, we read the reason and the, you know, locations, and we try not to do the quest tracking thing where you can have the blue area on the map showing you where you have to go. So we try to just, like, you know, really get into it, and I get role play, I guess, and enjoy the WoW experience as opposed to just making it fast and grindy, which is probably why we're so low level still.
Which is fine.
But to play with other people, that's why I'm so hesitant to group, is because so many other people just go, yeah, okay, accept, especially if they've already been through the content once. But since everything's so new for Joel and I, like, we just want to take our time and enjoy the experience and the story. And Borderlands, the first one, because I haven't played Borderlands 2 yet, obviously, didn't grab me with the story at all. So I was just kind of like, meh.
Well, the story is non-existent in the first one. The second one, they do, there is a bit more story. But judging from what we've talked about, I would suggest waiting until it goes on sale, maybe in the Steam sale, and then picking it up. Because... Mm-hmm. The game really is a lot of fun in terms of just a shoot shit and get on vent and talk to your buddies and just have a... It's a good time. But, you know, if the value isn't there for you, or if you're not... If you're interested in trying it, because it is better than the first one, the mechanics are a lot better. I would suggest that, but it's so easy to jump into games. Like, I jumped into a game with Scott Johnson... And played a bit with him. It was funny because we were playing with four people, and it was under level content. And I'll be honest, I just joined because he was in there, and I just wanted to have some fun. And we were going around, and then we actually jumped into our own game. And I think we got 5 feet, and I asked him a question, and then he just quit. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure he was busy or something. I think I was asking him whether he liked the game or not, and he said he loved it. And he was just about to drive off, and we were going to do a quest, and then I got booted from the game. But you know, everybody's very busy, I understand. But no, it's a lot of fun, very easy to play with your friends. And for you, I would suggest, yeah, probably wait for it to be on sale. And there's so much going on.
I'm going to wait for it to be on sale, and I'm going to wait for nothing else to be happening, and then I'm going to pick it up. Because realistically right now, like, I'm so busy with work, and any days that I work are just a total write-off. I don't have, like, hours in the evening. I pretty much, like, go to work, work my 12 hours, come home, put some food in my stomach, and go to bed. So... my work days are total write-offs, so I don't have a ton of time to game anymore. So I'm not going to pick something up like Borderlands 2 that's going to cost me a ton of money and that I probably won't touch for 3 months. Why not just wait the 3 months until it goes on sale? So that's pretty much my plan with this one, because, I mean, I'm going to need to play through Borderlands, the first one, just to get the hang of it. And, you know, we're probably not all the way through, but most of the way through, just to get into the universe. And then I'll probably try two, and we'll see how it goes. But you're playing on the PC, and you enjoy it over a console version?
Yeah, it is. It feels tight for PC or mouse and keyboard.
Oh, it is mouse and keyboard. I was going to say, are you playing with a... Does it support the controller? Or?
It does. If it supports the Xbox controller, and like all great PC games, it switches the UI to be the Xbox, you know, buttons, basically.
Right.
So, and I mean, I don't judge... I'm not like a hardcore PC gamer. I don't like flip out when someone says I'd rather play a first person shooter with a controller on the PC. Whatever works for you guys. I mean, there are some people who are like, you should play with a keyboard and mouse when you're playing PC games.
Well, actually,
we're going to do the rest. We'll do quick fire news in our nerd voices.
I think that's best for everyone involved.
Yeah. We won't get any emails about that at all.
So You've been playing Borderlands 2. I've been playing some slightly older titles because it's I'm trying to do the, well, I've bought it, so I should play it thing. Mm-hmm. So I actually threw in Lord of the Rings War in the North, which I think it came out almost a year ago now.
I think it would have been like last winter?
Fall, I think. Oh. Yeah, late, like kind of Christmassy. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I didn't get that far. I think I played through like two levels or so. It's not open world. It's very much a level based. Like basically like you play through, you kill a bunch of dudes, you hit a boss, and then there's like big cinematic story. And then you play through the next town and again kill a lot of orcs, and then there's a boss, and then there's a cinematic. And it's very, very well done. And it's really cool because your characters that are totally outside of like the Fellowship, you're following along the same storyline as the Fellowship. So like when you start the game, you go into the tavern and you talk to Aragorn, and you know, so you have these iconic characters that kind of pop into your game as your threesome kind of interacts with the Fellowship, because it's in the North, right? So while the Fellowship is going along trying to get to Rivendell, you're doing stuff at the same time. So it's really interesting in that way, the way that they tied it in. It didn't make me want to play a whole lot. The combat was interesting, and each person had ranged abilities as well as like melee abilities, so it's cool because you weren't stuck to one play style. So that was, it was interesting and fun, but it made me more so just want to play a Lord of the Rings game, not necessarily that Lord of the Rings game. Like I wanted to be in the universe because of all the familiar characters and the great story. But what it made me really want to play was Battle for Middle Earth, which was like, oh, I think it was 2004, 2005 it came out.
That's an RTS, right?
Yes.
Right.
And like I played the crap out of that. And so I'm sitting there playing on this console with War in the North, and I was just like, you know what I really want to do right now? I totally just want to go play on my PC and pull that out, because that was such a good game. And I still think Battle for Middle Earth is probably the best use of the franchise so far. Mm-hmm. Although there's a LEGO game coming soon.
Did you play the sequel that they put out for Battle for Middle Earth?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I played both, yeah.
I haven't touched it, but it did interest me. RTSs are always one of these things that are good on paper for me, but I suck at them. Like StarCraft, I love the story, but as soon as I try to get into multiplayer, it just breaks.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I played through the story and just basically played a bunch of games against the AI. Like I never played online against anyone because my computer was so crappy and slow that it just wouldn't have worked. So I tend to do that. It's the same with like the Civilization franchise. I play a lot against AI, and I, you know, crank the AI up really hard, but I'm never confident enough to go play online. So
yeah. Like playing online, the way I made it fun was just grouping with friends, getting on vent. Like usually when games come out, it's that first month where all my friends are still playing it. And we did like 4v4, like the four of us on a team all on vent, like chatting and strategizing against AI. And that was the most fun I ever had with that game. It's we called it comp stomp. Actually, that's a pretty common term, actually, comp stomping. And
really?
Yeah. We used it all the time when we were playing. I can't remember right now, but anyways, anytime you're like playing against the computer, you set them and you just want to have fun. You set them all to easy and you just tear them a new one, man. It's fun.
Nice. I was playing one more PC game this week, although it makes me so upset because it made me realize that, first of all, I've had my PC for 4 years now, which I was kind of like, it still feels like, oh yeah, my new computer, but it's not new anymore. It's been 4 years because I loaded up the new expansion for The Sims 3, or not the newest one, but the
Katy Perry one.
The Katy Perry one, except I didn't get the Katy Perry version because she annoys the fuck out of me.
I was kidding.
Oh, it is though. It's like The Sims Superstar or something like that.
Oh,
but there's a Katy Perry version and then there's the regular version. So I just got the regular version. So I loaded that up and I started to play, and even doing things like going from like regular pace time to like 3x speed, my computer was just chugging like crazy. And I was like, what's wrong with you? Like, The Sims used to just fly. I could max the graphics and it looked awesome and it was fun to play and it wasn't laggy at all. And then I went and looked at the system specs and my computer doesn't meet the minimum specs for the game. And I was just like, single tier.
When was the last time you upgraded your video card drivers?
I did all of that. I updated my drivers and everything else, and it was like, I think the minimum requirement is a 2.4 processor, and mine is 2.3. So I was just like, oh, man, that one extra point on my processor might have made a difference. But, I mean, it would still be – because I turned everything in the game all the way down, like all the graphic settings and everything. And it was still chuggy, and I was just like, oh, man, this sucks. Because I like the Sims franchise, but it kind of made me realize that, first of all, my computer being 4 years old, like, it's time for an upgrade. But I was just like, oh, man, I don't have the money to upgrade my computer, but it's totally new computer time.
Cool. Well, you know what? We should like, you're interested in a new computer, and we should use that as a, I don't know, once you get the money, I guess, is the first thing. We should use it as
first
a segment.
You get like, the money, then you get the computer.
Building a computer. Like, would you be interested in, like going doghouse, or are you interested in getting a custom build?
Oh, no, I'm going to build it myself. When I do it, I'm going to build it myself. I'm going to buy all the parts and put it together and document it in a truly geeky fashion.
See, the way I did this one, I just bought a new computer last summer, and using, I think it's NCIX, I basically put all the parts together, figured out what went where, and you're able to even price match everything, so you get it super cheap. And I think it was like just over $1,000, got a very good gaming PC with lots of upgrade slots, and this thing will probably do me for a while. So.
Well, that's the thing. The next one that I get, I'm going to basically buy the best that I can in hopes that I won't have to upgrade for, you know, another 5 years probably. Because when I got my PC a few years ago, it wasn't the top of the line, but it was up there, you know. So, I mean, I have a 750 gig hard drive in it. And when I got it, 1 terabyte hard drives in computers were just becoming a thing. And I wasn't really paying that much attention, and the Future Shop guy was, oh, no, don't get the 1 terabyte hard drive. They're still too new. They're going to fail and blah, 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 blah. So we all know how that turned out.
Well, yeah, I did the same thing with my first computer. I wanted something for a specific price. I wanted to spend around $1,000. I wasn't putting like the extra $50 into a motherboard to be able to expand. So that computer got old fast, and
I did the same, and I'm kind of surprised really when I stop and think about it that it has actually lasted me 4 years given the gaming that I do. Although I did just like 2 years ago I upgraded the video card and the power source, but I mean the processor just can't keep up, so I think I'm just gonna start from scratch, get a really cool case, probably something that, you know, lights up with LEDs and stuff. And I kind of told Joel that, and he just rolled his eyes. So, but it's okay because it goes in my room, so he doesn't even have to see it.
LEDs, man. That's where it's at.
LEDs are the wave of the future.
20 years ago.
20 years ago. Nice. So I think that's it for what we're playing, which brings us to quickfire news. Blizzard has changed its mind about Windows 8. There seems to be conflicting opinions of the Windows 8 platform within the ranks of one of the biggest PC game manufacturers, Blizzard. A few weeks ago, Rob Pardo voiced his opinion of Windows 8, agreeing with Gabe Newell that the operating system will be a catastrophe for PC gaming. This week, Darren Williams, the senior software engineer, has said that the company has no particular fears associated with the platform. He has confirmed that Blizzard games will support Windows 8, which was kind of obvious.
Former BioWare employee thinks doctors left over negative fan reactions. Fans of recent BioWare releases Star Wars The Old Republic and Mass Effect 3 were pretty vocal about their opinions, and that's putting it nicely. Trent Oster, who worked in a senior position at BioWare until June of 2009, shared that in a recent meeting with Zestchuk, he seemed visibly exhausted. Trent therefore wasn't surprised that Zestchuk checked out, but Mazika leaving came as a shock. Ray surprised me. I had him pegged as an EA lifer, Trent said. My thought was that was the Ray agenda was to first usurp Frank Gibbo and then later John Riccitiello as CEO. True or not, it should show that when critiquing a game, remember that real people are behind it. So be sure to share your opinions with respect.
Lego Gandalf talks. A video released this week shows actual footage from Lego Lord of the Rings featuring the characters delivering iconic lines from the movie franchise. I was originally worried that Sir Ian McKellen would sound a little funny coming out of a Lego character, but it looks fantastic, seems to fit, and gets rid of the annoying Lego grunt that the franchise is famous for. Look for Lego Lord of the Rings coming in November 2012.
Finally, achievement scores mean something. Microsoft is expanding their Xbox Live Rewards program by offering rebates on marketplace purchases based on their gamer score. Gold members with more than 25,000 achievement points get 2% back in Microsoft points on Xbox Live purchases made each month. Gold members with more than 10,000 achievement points get a 1% rebate, while all gold members with 3,000 plus achievement points get a special gift in the months of their birthdays. Keep in mind, just because you're a gold Xbox Live subscriber, you must still enroll in the free Xbox Live Rewards program.
The Flood has been confirmed for Halo 4. You know that big, huge, annoying enemy that you thought you wiped off the face of the universe at huge personal sacrifice in Halo 3? Yeah, the ones that 343 swore up and down would not be in Halo 4? Yeah, they're part of Halo 4. But totally just in the multiplayer part, guys, they promise. The multiplayer mode does sound really cool, though, with 2 out of the 10 players starting out as infected with the goal of infecting the other 8. This means that as players become infected, they will be switching over to the other team. This creates an interesting dynamic in the multiplayer world, even if it does mean the Return of the Flood, as long as Halo 5 isn't called Return of the Flood.
Halo Wars made Bungie not so happy. Founder of Ensemble Studios Tony Goodman explained in an interview that Microsoft wouldn't back the RTS the console RTS they were creating. It needed a big name attached to it. So Microsoft made Ensemble rework the game into the Halo franchise, which set it back a year. Ensemble Studios wasn't the only ones upset about this. Another problem was that Bungie was never up for it, Tony explained. Bungie was kind of sore about the idea. What they called it was the whoring out of our franchise or something. Yeah, that didn't create a great relationship between us and Bungie. They viewed us as someone infringing on their franchise. Ouch. For what was probably the best RTS on a console, it sucks to see it had such a troubled development.
Zynga is losing all their fans. Not surprisingly, they were fake anyway. Facebook has implemented countermeasures to remove fake accounts and associated likes from fan pages. As a result, Zynga has lost hundreds of thousands of fans across its many social games. It still adds up to less than 1% of Zynga's fans, but it should be pointed out that other pages like Twitter, Angry Birds, Zoosk, and The Gamers Inn actually gained likes. But we always knew our fans weren't fake.
Mass Effect Trilogy getting a collected release. On November 6th, EA and Byro will be releasing the much-loved trilogy on Xbox 360 and PC. In the press release, they also confirmed that the original Mass Effect, which was a Microsoft exclusive, will be included in the trilogy collection on PS3, to be released at a later date. That's right, Sony gamers, you can finally experience the original Mass Effect in a non-motion comic format. And you'll also be able to pick up the original Mass Effect on PSN for $15 once the trilogy launches on PS3. And also on November 7th, EA and BioWare will be celebrating N7 Day with in-game and real-world events. For more information, head over to the Mass Effect website.
And no one will pay attention because on November 6th, Halo 4 launches. So, really, BioWare?
Actually, really? Yeah, I never really thought about that. Not only are they releasing the original Mass Effect on non-Microsoft platforms, which is a big FU to Microsoft, they're also doing it a day after Halo 4, which I don't think will make a difference to Halo 4.
No, not at all. But it is kind of a spit in the face, though. Like,
oh, come on.
You think Halo 4 is a big deal? Well, you know what we're going to do.
Well,
we're going to make the next day our day.
It's N7 Day, November 7th. You can't do that on any other day.
I'm pretty sure that they could have found another tie-in on any given month by rearranging numbers and letters and stuff. Like,
that's the only month that starts with N, Jocelyn. Come on.
No, I know, but... Never mind.
Narch. Narch 7th. There we go.
Yeah, see? New month. Narch. Or nay. Ha! Nay. That's better. Mm-hmm. Narch. Rookie. So that brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is going to be based on our involvement in the Extra Life charity event. We thought we'd talk about gaming marathons, which I'm super excited about and is actually coming really, really fast. It's 3 weeks from now?
Three weeks from today. Yes, it's coming pretty quickly.
Us here at the Gamers Inn, we have a team with Extra Life, as we've mentioned before. And if you'd like to contribute, it is bit.ly/TGI Extra Life. TGI Extra Life. That's it. Sorry. I didn't actually have it in front of me. And I'm like, I know it's super easy, but I can't remember if it's like the Gamers Inn XL or if it's TGI Extra Life. So it's TGI Extra Life for you guys who want to go and help us in our cause. I don't think we've had any donations lately. I sure haven't.
No, I just checked. We haven't. And with October, like, literally just around the corner, we are going to be pimping this hardcore outside of the show, I think.
Pimping it hardcore?
Yeah, you could use that one if you want.
Okay.
Probably not. Used that at work once, and it didn't go over well. But, yeah, Extra Life, I think we're going to be taking it to a new level in terms of promoting it outside the promotions on the podcast. We need to do some web content and whatnot, but
yep, I'm super excited about it. We've been I've been playing with the whole Google Plus Hangout and YouTube thing, so we're gonna get that set up. We should have some video content going up shortly, and yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm really excited about it. So Ryan, when was your last gaming marathon? Because for me, I play WoW every Friday night for, 4 or 5 hours with Joel, and that's our date night. And, I played Halo 3, I guess, for probably, about 5 or 6 hour chunks to get through it for the podcast. And then, Civ 5 is definitely a marathon game. Mm-hmm. That's probably the last one that made me lose track of time, where I was like, started playing it, after Pancakes, because, I always play games on Saturdays. So let's say 10-ish in the morning. And then by the time I looked at the clock, it was like 3 in the afternoon and just kind of like, oh, no. So that's the last game that made me lose time. Mm-hmm. But even though those are quite short marathons. Since I've moved down here and I have someone else to take into account other than myself, I haven't really had like a 12-hour marathon. What about you?
I think the last one I can remember would have been, I think I finished one of the Halo games. Oh, Halo 2, when I was playing for the show, I sat down on a Saturday morning and just played pretty much the whole way through that in that one day. But in terms of like a hardcore, okay, I'm taking a day off and I'm going to marathon it, I think, would have been with Mass Effect 3, I think the day we got it.
I was just going to say Mass Effect 3. I totally forgot about that because, yeah, that was a week full of I am coming home from work, I'm sitting down in front of my TV, and I'm just going to play the crap out of this game until I can no longer keep my eyes open, and then I'm going to repeat the next day.
Exactly. And that makes gaming a lot of fun, planning to play for a long time because you're waiting so long and you just want to, soak it in as much as possible, as quickly as possible. And really with Mass Effect 3, when it came out, I think I took the next day off, or maybe it was the weekend or whatever, but you get some energy drinks and you try to stay up as late as possible. And with Mass Effect 3, that was just so much fun. And I think with the next game, I'm planning to do it with Halo 4. Well, obviously before that, we'll do it with Extra Life, right? I almost forgot.
Almost forgot the whole reason for marathon talks.
Yeah, exactly. Here I am, slipping my mind.
My plan for the marathon is totally, I work 5 to 5 the day before. So I'm planning on coming home and sleeping from 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And I think I work 4 days straight before Extra Life. So I know I'm going to be tired. So I'm just going to sleep pretty much until it's 9 a.m. and we're ready to go.
That is a solid plan.
Yeah, and then I'm just going to try to stay. I'll probably drink coffee for the first 6 or 7 hours. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know what I'm going to do, because if I drink coffee for 24 hours straight, my stomach is just going to hate me. I'm not going to be able to sit in front of the TV for that long because of the coffee.
Okay, well, here's my strategy. And maybe you could take bits and pieces of it. But When I did Extra Life last year, I had coffee in the morning, one cup of, you know, my normal coffee morning. And after that, it was water until maybe, I mean, after dinner, you know, maybe a pop or something. But after, you know, just drink water all day and you'll be fine if you do need to dip into the hazardous materials at the end of the day. Like energy, I'm going to have some energy drinks on hand. Probably only drink maybe one to get through the first bit of the night, and then another just to kind of push me over the edge until 9 a.m. the next day.
So what is your gaming energy drink of choice?
To be honest, this is going to sound really cheap, but I only usually buy just whatever's on sale. Lately, it's been like you can buy the Monster 4-pack, like the green Monster stuff. It looks like acid.
Is it actually green? Because I know Red Bull has that kind of yellowy urine look to it.
Yeah. Energy drinks just, like, in the chat room, _folks, like, ew, yeah. Energy drinks, they're never good. I can't think of a single one that's kind of your preferable choice. But, yeah, Monsters, I usually get those. And, you know, maybe for this I might put a little extra money into it so I don't, you know, end up burning my esophagus out with these things. But yeah, I usually pick up the Monster, the green Monsters. But
so what kind of breaks do we get with Extra Life? I know that we've talked about how we're going to take a break for, you know, like half an hour every, what was it, like 3 or 4 hours to give an update of what we're doing.
Well, I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand that we're not glued to the games for 24 hours. This is like when people do like a 24-hour marathon run or like one of those walks around the circle for 24 hours, you are entitled to breaks, right? Like we can stand up like in between Mass Effect matches, for example, and go for a walk. Like you don't have to be like, oh my God, I'm waiting for my next game to start. Where's my iPhone? You know, you can kind of pace yourself. But we're planning to do some check-ins. I think you'll get like, you know, an hour or a half hour every 3 hours just to kind of sit down and chat. And, you know, if you need breaks, it's not like, oh my God, I have to go to the bathroom, but I'm not scheduled for another break for 2 hours. Like, it's totally
so I don't
like, yeah.
Go buy adult diapers. That's good to know.
Please don't do that. This is laid back. It's video games. This isn't like the only serious part about it is have fun and it's the donations go to charity. That's if people really are going to get upset that you didn't play for 24 hours and they donated like $20, then their priorities aren't in check, you know. we're not looking to put ourselves in the hospital, right? This isn't an exchange program. We're you know,
one gamer in, one kid out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible.
I know.
That's absolutely awful. You're going to some awful place and getting struck by lightning.
Hell, probably. You know, yep. There's a hell for every religion. But yeah, breaks. We're entitled to them. We'll get them. I'm looking forward to this so much. The more we talk about it, I can't wait.
I wish it was tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, playing video games for 24 hours.
I just want an excuse to play video games for 24 hours with all my friends and chatting and streaming stuff that I'm doing. And yeah, I'm excited. So, what about equipment? Because you were talking about you were going to buy something that's going to let you stream your Xbox, right?
I did, and I had it. I did some tests. Actually, the day I got it, I did some tests, and it wasn't up to par in the sense that I just hooked it up and tried it, and it's like, hey, it works, but it's not perfect. I have to kind of sit down. I have a guide here. I need to go through it, but when I actually get some time. So that's why I'm happy Extra Life isn't tomorrow, because we're not ready yet. But I picked up the AverMedia Live Gamer HD, which is basically a card you put in your computer, which allows for pass-through. Basically, you hook your Xbox into the card and then out of the card back into the TV. So looking at the TV, you don't even notice that it's going through your computer. But on your computer, you see a little window where it's got your Xbox game. And you can stream it. And actually, if you go to our Twitch TV, there might still be some tests that I did. There's definitely some PC streaming from Guild Wars and the WoW beta. Mm-hmm. But there's also some Rock Band Blitz gameplay, which I don't think is a good game to stream because it's so quick and requires – and there's a lot of timing involved. And I think with streaming, it's like almost impossible to get it like completely on par, like you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you'll see those. I'll be testing it over the next couple weeks, but you don't need that.
Yeah, but pretty much any Xbox games that we'll be playing will be streamed from Ryan's point of view. So I think we have that picture-in-picture thing, right, where we can show our faces. So it might be, like, Ryan's point of view, him looking at his Xbox, but then, like, my face on my webcam is me playing on my Xbox kind of thing.
Right. So, yeah, we still haven't sorted out how we're going to do the whole live streaming thing in terms of multiple faces. Like, if we want to do multiple faces, like you and me playing a game, we'll have to do a Google Hangout. Mm-hmm. But there will be some Justin.tv content in terms of, you know, Ryan playing scary games. That's going to be a Twitch thing. But, you know, we're still working on the schedule. We'll figure it all out. And we're going to have actually the show before Extra Life. We're hoping to have a few people on, and we're going to talk all about the finalized schedule. It'll be all scheduled and finalized, right? That's the plan.
That would be why it's called the finalized schedule.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said it twice the same way. But yeah, streaming works great, and I'm really looking forward to testing out the webcam and the microphone while playing a Kinect game. I think that's going to be my next test once I get the whole streaming thing sorted out and quality. Mm-hmm. Is I'm going to hook up my webcam to my computer, have my Yeti mic on the desk, and you'll be able to see actually, I got Fable the Journey, the demo, and that's what I'm going to play. You'll be able to see that on the screen, and you'll be able to see me doing my arm movements to do the magic stuff, and you'll be able to hear me as well. So,
which is super cool. Yeah, I'm excited. So we will definitely be posting about that when we're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so what I think is going to really keep me into this is all the different titles that we're going to play, because that's kind of what's different about Extra Life versus a traditional gaming marathon where, you know, like you get a game, like we were saying with Mass Effect 3, and you just play it all the way through the whole time, right?
Right.
In what we're going to be doing here is we're going to be doing, like, we're going to pick a dungeon and run a WoW dungeon. We're going to play some Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Ryan's going to play some scary games. And, you know, like, when Ryan's playing scary games, I might play scary games. I might play, you know, something single player or some Civ or, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to be able to play with each other. We're going to be able to swap partners. So, like, I might play with Ryan for a bit, and then I might go play something with Val or Lemel in the chat room is also going to be joining us, and he's in Australia. So that'll be really fun, because with the 12-hour time difference, normally we don't get to game together. So I think the change in people with the 24-hour time window and the change in games is really – it's just going to be so much fun. I think we're going to have a problem where we have too many things that we want to do and not enough time.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what I'm thinking, and I'm taking advantage of this time to try all the games I've collected over the summer, and I, you know, kind of throw some time at it, and and we are going to be setting up more than one stream, so I think actually Bob brought this up in our planning document that we should have a page with all the different streams. Like, you'll have the TGI main stream on Justin.tv, but also have everybody else's Twitch account, because Lou is going to be streaming. I talked to him. He's going to be streaming some old school games on his feed. Bobbert and Rick both have their own feed. And that'll give you guys the option to, oh, well, you know, I don't really want to watch Ryan pee his pants. I mean, why wouldn't you? So I'm going to watch Bob pee his pants. I don't know. We don't know. But that'll be available as well.
I don't want to see that.
Nobody wants to see that. The webcam will be from the waist up. Trust me.
Oh, that's so wrong.
I know. I don't know what's wrong. I think maybe this is why we should never record on a Saturday morning. We're all so awake.
That's true. No filters.
But I'm interested in terms of this 24-hour marathon. Like, we talked about drinks, we talked about breaks, we talked about what we're going to be doing. But food, Jocelyn, we need to eat. What's your plan for eating in terms of this marathon? Are you going to, like, order a pizza and parse through it the rest of the day?
Totally pizza. Like, everything that I eat has to be edible on a couch or some kind of sitting type space that still lets me game, so it has to be compact enough that I can just kind of put it in my mouth and put it back down and still keep playing at the same time. So I think there's gonna be anything that's kind of that I can dip or have a bit of, you know, like chips or veggies, as the chat room has suggested, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just No sit down. No knives and forks. Let's just throw those out the window right now. Like, right. We don't have time or room or, yeah, we would need extra hands for that. So, and then, yeah, I'm not even going to go into Joel feeding me food because that would be weird. And I don't think he'd be okay with that. But, yeah, so anything that I can kind of keep one hand on the joystick and then the other hand putting food in my mouth, that's the plan.
That's good because I like the pizza idea. I think I'll order a pizza for dinner and have that as my, you know, like your sustenance for the rest of the night. But I really – we know Joel exclusively feeds grapes.
Yes, that's what we do.
Charm, go away. Come on. But yeah, I think that snacks are important, but not like a bag of Doritos. You know, you're not going to eat Doritos all day. Like, that's a bad idea.
See, the problem with Doritos or like sour cream and onion chips, anything with that powder on it, is then it gets all in your controller or all over your mouse. And you do not want Doritos dust on your mouse.
No, if we've learned anything from South Park, that never looks good.
Exactly.
You said veggies. Like, that's probably the most healthiest thing I've ever heard anybody say in relation to playing video games for 24 hours. But, you know, we might need healthy at this point. It might be a good idea.
I think if we just eat, like, chips and pizza for 24 hours, the next day we are going to feel so sick and awful. And it's a bad plan.
The next day, man, 2 a.m. might roll around. You'll have a big surprise. It's well, like, why isn't Jocelyn on the feed? Like, her camera's empty. It's like, she had Domino's pizza and Doritos for breakfast.
That would explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, I think we have to – balance is important. As just the same as you were saying, you have to keep drinking water, and you can't just rely on coffee all day and no energy drinks at, like, hour three, you know? So
– we have to pace yourself.
Same idea. Yeah, we just have to pace ourselves. And I think, you know, we can probably eat pretty regularly like we would any other day, I would think, for most of it. And then it's just going to be through the night how we handle the being awake through the night thing.
Yeah. And I mean, this isn't like a news station. This isn't like we have to be on schedule. We have to do this. We're allowed. It's very free. We can walk away from the computer, get a snack. It's not a big deal.
You're not hardcore enough for me, Ryan.
Okay, well, we can go hardcore. Hey, the more time I'm playing video games, the happier I am.
Me too. I think that pretty much wraps up our chat. So we just wanted to remind everyone about the fact that we are giving away two copies of World of Warcraft, which includes World of Warcraft, Burning Crusade, Ratchet the Lich King, not the Lich King,
no,
the Lich King, and Cataclysm. So two copies of that set. All you have to do is send us an email before our next Road to Halo 4 episode, which will be with Mark the Terpster Turpin on October 13th. That counts as your entry. It can be an email, it can be a tweet, it can be a Google Plus post, it can be a forum post. Anything that you want to send us some feedback, we'll enter you into the draw, and then we will be giving them away on our October 13th episode. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And they're all digital codes, so even if you currently own WoW, you can give it away to somebody else. Like, you don't specifically have to use it. They're digital codes. So if you have a friend that you've always wanted to drag into the just total vortex that is WoW, then this is how you can do it for free.
Yeah, and it should be mentioned that you don't need Mists of Pandaria to roll a panda.
You don't, which I was surprised. You need Mists of Pandaria to play the level 85 to 90 content and to play a monk class, but you can roll a panda, which is exciting.
That's very cool.
So that brings us to the end of our show. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com, where you can find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. You can also email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and on Google Plus. Also, don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. the chat room dinging me?
I just want to play WoW.
I know. Oh my god, I'm beyond addicted to that game now, dude. Like, I'm not playing anything else. Ugh, I don't know, because I'm so bad at naming things. But, I don't know, probably like McCutester Gurr.